Welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
1 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And to give you a little bit of context, what happened is that David, a lot of people are oftentimes familiar with David, well, he just killed Goliath, this giant that was tormenting, you know, the nation of Israel at the time. So he killed Goliath, and he's now speaking to the king at the time, Saul. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Keep that in mind. And Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Stay standing, let's pray. The highest praise, God, always belongs to you. The highest praise, God, always belongs to you. God, speak to us, God, because we need it. Lord, the way we leave today, it's not the way we're going to come in. We know that, because we're here to encounter you. God, we love you, and we give space, God, in our hearts for you to do only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five somebody and tell them, say, you look good. Tell them, say, you look good. I understand that's a little bit awkward, especially if that's not your spouse or significant other. But maybe you want it to be. Oh, maybe you do. Maybe as you high five, you know, sparks start flying and you saw your Boaz or whatever. And if that's the case, you know, you can get to know each other, eventually get married, name your firstborn after me. Zai is a great name, by the way. I think so. It's a little mysterious. I don't know. I'm like, Zai? What's your name, Zai? What does that mean? Wouldn't you like to know? It means sweet smelling, by the way. That's kind of nice, isn't it? Yeah. Again, you can name them after me. I'm excited. Anybody excited for the Jungle series that's starting next week? It's going to be fun. It's our series on relationships. So again, maybe you spotted someone, said glory and praise. Ha, ha, ha. Power and strength. Yes, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Ah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I love the series that we're currently in. We're wrapping it up today, called Unusual. And it's a series where we're essentially saying, in order for this year to be different, we have to pursue God in a different way, in an unusual way. And it's so cool to be coming out of a season of prayer and fasting for 21 days. If it's your first time, again, welcome. We're coming out of a fast. So I know some people are like, thank you, Jesus. Food. And we've been pursuing God in an unusual way. And I just want to encourage you, don't let it stop because the fast ended. You want this year to be unusual, again, in a good way. And so it's going to be. Last week was fantastic. We had our friend Anthony O'Neill here. Do y'all enjoy him? Wasn't he fantastic? He was a riot. Now, we were suffering for you all down in Australia. And it was awesome. That's my Aussie accent. You like that? I told my husband, I said, oh, my gosh, Stephen, my accent is gone. My Australian accent is gone. He said, you never had it. I said, boop, stop. Yes, I did. I was one of them. We, Pastor Stephen, had the privilege of bringing the gospel down to Australia, and it was fantastic. Yeah. If you didn't know, Australia is about 4% Christian. I didn't know it was so secular. Yeah. To give you comparison, they say that the United States is about 49% Christian. So, you know, this nation's pretty secular. So just imagine down there. But let me tell you, the church is alive down there in Australia. It is alive. The Holy Spirit is doing something new there, and it's fantastic just to see people just so alive and full of God. And I mean, it was a beautiful time. Now, we stay there about a week, and it was great. Conference was great. Church services were great. And I'm like, and I told him the last day, I said, I've had a great time, but there's just one thing that's wrong. And he said, oh my gosh, you okay? Like, I thought we've done a good job. I'm like, yeah, but there's just one thing. It's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't want to be that person, but I traveled for 20 hours to get here. 20 hours, y'all. 20 hours. And I said, I want to see some kangaroos. Like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I am. I want, because if you go to Australia, wouldn't you want to see some kangaroos? So don't judge me. I know, I'm like, I wanted to see some kangaroos and some koalas and all them stuff. And so they made arrangements quickly, and we went to this wildlife park zoo thing. It was massive. Think like the Woodley Zoo in D.C., but just even bigger. So it's huge. And seeing all these different animals, like these exotic animals and mammals, all types of poisonous snakes and bats and crocodiles and all this. I mean, it was crazy. But all of them, they were in like a cage. And so they took me to the area, like in the middle of the place. It's like this gated area, this field of some sort, with kangaroos. So about 60, 70 types of kangaroos, all types. You know, big kangaroos, little kangaroos. You had kangaroos with Joey's. You know, Joey is like a baby kangaroo inside of them. Shout out to Pastor Joey. Anyway, no, he does a great job. Shout out to him. Anyway, all these different kangaroos, and as soon as I step into the threshold, right, they just start looking at me. Okay, I'm talking about 60, 70 different types of kangaroos. And a kangaroo just reminds me of a deer. And I don't know about you, but I don't go touch a deer and say, how you doing, Bambi? I don't do that. And so these things just start, I mean, they're kind of minding their business a little bit, but I see some of my catch, I lock eye contact with them, and I'm like, why are they staring at me? This is so crazy. And I was too far in the middle that I couldn't go back. I'm like, okay, in any tense situation, you're not supposed to run, so stay calm. And there was a worker there, so I go up to him. I say, excuse me. Now, I said I wanted to see some kangaroos, but I didn't know to be this close with them, you know? And I'm like, how safe is it for these wild beasts to be so close, to be so close to me? And they said, you know, they're about half tamed. I said, excuse me? They said half tame. And I said, so I have a 50-50% chance of being kicked by one of them right now. Said, well, don't put it that way. No, I'm going to put it that way because you told me they were half tame. You should have been doing your job. Get them 100%. But anyway, the kangaroos were great. To actually touch them, I'm like, let me not come all the way here not to touch a kangaroo. So I did. Your girl is tough. Pretty great. Story had nothing to do with anything, but I love Australia. So if you want to go... Like, what does this have to do with Jesus? Jesus protected me. Jesus protected me in the land of kangaroos, and I'm very, very blessed. But today we'll be diving into something that defines us the most. I dare say if you don't get this right, no part of your life is going to be unusual. And I'm talking about people in your corner, unusual people in your corner. You know, usual people are, you know, I have friends. They make me laugh. We be kikiing it up, you know? Kikiing is apparently a term, like a current colloquialism. Isn't that cool? I'm learning all these different terms, getting a little hip. Anyway, so we be laughing. We have fun. But no, they don't encourage me. They don't encourage me in my faith and all that God has for me. They don't push me forward, but that's not what they're for, right? Even some of us that have Christian friends, we've been friends for years now. They know us, you know, we've gone through some things. But if you're to be honest, you don't relate with them like you once did. Find yourself in a new season. Whether you're stepping into marriage, whether it's the birth of your first child, or maybe just got promoted, different job now situation, and have a little bit more pressure. Sometimes it's not even something external that's happening, it's internal. You can tell that the Lord is just calling you to himself. There's like a new level of intimacy that he's calling you to. You know what you can feel, and you look to the left, and you look to the right, and people that you're surrounded with, you don't relate to them like you once did. It's not that they're bad, they're not. It's just that you're different. You know it. You can tell. And many of you this year, you prayed that you want your relationships to be better. You're believing this year is going to be a great year, especially in the area of relationships, because you've been hurting in this area. You know, by God's grace and some honesty, we're going to get honest today with ourselves. We're going to see that. In the passage, we're looking at perhaps one of the most famous covenant relationships in all of the Bible, that between Jonathan and David. Now, David, he's kind of a big deal. He killed, Goliath. He was one of the greatest kings. I mean, he's referenced. He's the second most referenced person in the Bible, by the way. Bible trivia fact. Jesus is number one, but he's the second most referenced person. And his road to the throne, it wasn't easy. He was anointed king at a young age. But by the time he became king and all that transpired, it was a lot. You know, there's so many of us, from a young age, and even now, Lord's giving you a vision of something that he's called you to. He's giving you that picture. It's so big, You can see that marriage. You can see you and your spouse, having that ministry. You see that business. You see the Lord's called you to it. You can see the legacy that you want to leave for your kids. Like, you can see it, but it's not happening right away. Some time is passing. Some time is passing. And you're wondering, like, God, did you really say? Did I dream it up? God, are you sure? Because it's not as pretty as you expected, Because the Lord, when he gives you the picture, he's not going to show you everything else is going to happen. No, he's going to give you the picture. You're going to get excited about it. But there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in between. A lot of things that may not be pretty. And just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's not God. And I love the fact that David, again, anointed king at a young age, but so much happened, and it was a brutal journey. And the Bible said that he had Jonathan in his corner, cheering him on, encouraging him, someone who loved him as himself, a godly, divine relationship. And I'm not sure how you're envisioning David. Some of us think, he was a poet, so he was kind of, how poets are. But David, he was a skilled fighter. He was very good at what he did. He was a war hero, anointed, called. And even him, he needed someone in his corner. How about us? No matter how anointed we are, principled, well-trained, disciplined, wealthy we are, we have a real enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy the plans that God has for us. But here's the thing. He can't take it from us. It has our name on it. No one else can take it. But here's the thing. He can distract us. Keeping us busy, fighting these little battles over things that are most precious to us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know the enemy's studying us, right? He's studying us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our buttons. Why do we get so caught off guard when something happens in that area again? Maybe it's a child that's just hard to deal with. The enemy knows you feel that way about him, so he keeps kind of attacking him. Maybe it's your joy. You know you. You know sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low, and you're struggling with that, sometimes struggling with depression or anxiety. He knows it. Why do you think he attacks you there all the time? We need people in our corner that are going to be there for us to help us and say, no, this is just the enemy doing what he always does because he's studying you. I can only imagine David, coming back from a military campaign. He was very successful in it, but it was still a military campaign going against the enemy. And he's coming back and King Saul is asking him, how'd it go? And he said, well, it was hard, but it went well. 10,000 people slain. And so he's expecting to get saluted or promoted or sprayed or something. I don't know, I just came from an African wedding yesterday. And they were spraying people, and I'm like, hey, it's fun. But expecting it to be great, and King Saul hurling a spear at him. Now think about it, because if you know David, he was pretty much rejected by his family, his father, remember? He wasn't even counted as one of the people when Samuel came to anoint the next king. So now he is living with the king and in company with the king, and this person that he's looking up to the most probably transferred a lot of that affection that maybe he had for his father to this person. This person that he cares about, kind of wants to impress the most, wants him to like him as much as he likes him, and now he's turned his back on him. No, he's a real character. Think about it. How would you feel? You so desperately want to be accepted by this person, but they don't care about you? And more than that, they want you dead? How do you process that? How do you process that? The Bible said that David had Jonathan in his corner helping him, for him to talk to, for him to encourage him, even for him to get protected by. We need people in our corner that will fight for us. Because when we're processing, a lot of us are thinkers. You process, you overprocess, and process again. Come to a conclusion, oh, maybe that's not it, and you process it again. We need people in our corner to help us fight, because we're in a battle. We're in a fight. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You will fall. Well, that was encouraging. You will fall. And I'm not talking about a major sin or anything. Sometimes that happens too. But you will have times where you're just exhausted. You were talking about being in a new year, and a lot of people know there's so much energy. 2019 is going to be great. And you're like, yeah. Because you're tired of fighting. God gave you a vision and a dream. And you're like, yes, it's going to happen any day now. And you're coming with so much expectation, but then nothing happens at the end of the day, at the end of the month, at the end of the year. And you're now wondering, God, did you say? God, do you even remember me? And you might be here in church just wondering, God, do you even see me? He sees you. Sometimes we do fall, and we stop walking towards all that God has for us. We need people in our corner, frankly, who we're connected to helps us accomplish all that God has for us. It's a truth. And I'm not talking about natural networking, like, oh, I must know this person. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about divine connections. Divine connections, things that only the Lord can do. Because I see it, and it's one of my, oh gosh, it breaks my heart. You see people, and they get so excited. You know, God changes them, and, you know, they give their life to Christ, and it's like, yay! And they start reading their Bible, come to church more consistently, and, you know, things start to change, but the people that they're surrounding with don't. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, God's called you here, so you're walking, and, you know, excited, yay! And everyone else is kind of going the other way, and it's like sometimes you kind of feel like you're getting pulled back the bit. And what's even worse, some of us, we just stay here. We give our lives to Christ and that's it. That's it. Do you know who your God is? He gave you Jesus, literally bankrupted heaven, so that you can have a life more abundantly. And here you are settling for safe and coasting just in the comfortable. God's called you onward, forward. He has a plan and a purpose for you. But who you're surrounded is going to help you there. Walk with you there, because sometimes you get tired. You start doing the stanky leg a little bit. Or the guara, I don't know, it's like a little dance. I can't do it to save my life. I know, I'm trying. I have no idea what I was talking about, but. So today I just want to give you three keys, and not why it's important, but how to cultivate those God-given covenant relationships. And listen, men, y'all are strong, great, you know, awesome, and many of you are single. we need single men in this room. The ladies say amen. You better get your blessing. Say amen to that. That's awesome. We do. It's awesome. And ladies, you know, well, no, let's go back to the men. Y'all are awesome, but you all are the least likely to have these covenant relationships. And ladies, you know, you smile. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, great. You're bubbly and all that, but you're the least likely to have true, transparent relationships as well. What am I saying? Male or female, a lot of us keep it on a superficial basis. We keep it, like, here, you know? And frankly, we're not going to accomplish all that God has for us if we keep it here, because we need people. So if you're taking notes because you love Jesus, then you love Jesus, don't you? Yes. Amen. Write this down. You're not that tough, so smile. You're not that tough, so smile. Proverbs 15:30 says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. Now, I'm not saying start batting your eye and channeling your inner Jezebel. Now, Pastor says, smile, how you doing? No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying smile. Look approachable. Some of you, your happy, mad, indifferent face is all the same. It is. I'm like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. You don't look okay. Oh, I'm good. I'm having the time of my life. And they're like, here. I'm like, okay. I'm like, no, this is how I am all the time. Oh, really? A lot of us, we do that. And I don't know why. You know, we purposely keep distance with people. Sometimes even using sarcasm as a barrier. You know what you're doing. You're keeping people far away. You know, I remember the first art conference that I went to. It was years ago, and I was stepping into full-time ministry and stepping into being a wife of a pastor, right? So we go to an art conference. ARC is the Association of Related Churches, and it's the organization that the church is part of. They plant life-giving churches like Destiny Church nationally and internationally. So there's it's a massive church with thousands and thousands, probably I think about 3,000 to 4,000 pastors there. And here I am feeling super overwhelmed by this new season that I find myself in, right? And so there are all these different sessions, and ARC has a mantra saying, don't do ministry alone. And I'm like, okay, cool. So at the end of each session, they'll say, now meet people, you know, don't leave here without getting someone's number and all that. And as soon as the session will be out, and I'm like, out too, like just hurrying up, just being busy. I had nowhere to go. I was just rushing, you know, because I didn't want to look awkward. Like, are you going to be my friend? I didn't want that. So I was just moving, like, really quickly. Now, don't laugh at me, because a lot of you, after church, there you go. You know you. Acting real busy, like you have somewhere to go. Where? But at the time, where do you have to go? I mean, but at the same time, you're saying, God, you know, and I was saying, God, I'm so lonely. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so overwhelmed. You know, there's something about stepping into a new season just brings up all these different insecurities. And I'm like, I'm not this insecure. I was, though, stepping in as being a pastor and being a pastor's wife. Like, what does this look like? You know, I talked to one person at the conference who was like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to be a pastor's wife since I was like 3 years old. Like, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus at 2, and you know, like, who are you? Get away from me. I mean, that's not my story. Completely honored and floored, and God, thank you. God, this is amazing. I couldn't imagine myself doing ministry, and I can't imagine myself not. Like, God, this is awesome. But still, God, what does this look like? I don't know what this looks like. And I'm like, God, send someone. I kind of feel a little lonely. And he said, like, I sent you to a conference with 4,000 people. And here I am. I mean, I would like to say that I'm a cupcake, you know? I smile, I'm cheery, I'm awesome. But at the time, I rushing and just acting a little stoic, like just putting my little mean girl African face on. Because we all have it. If you're African, at least, you know what I'm talking about. you can't have covenant relationships like that. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Some of you are saying, you know, I want that. I do want that covenant relationship, but it's not really happening. And sometimes the reason is you. So the most spiritual thing we can do is smile, to look approachable. I'm not talking about change your personality. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes there's something inside of us that sends up these vibes like, stay away, stay away. And you can ask the Lord. He's gentle. He can tell you what's going on, helping you deal with that insecurity. That verse earlier on in that verse, it says, God calls us actually fearfully and wonderfully made, because you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, but sometimes there's just something, there's a part of your personality that's just not like God, and God wants to deal with it. So you're not that tough, so smile. Second thing is get deep, not shallow. Get deep, not shallow. And I'm not saying to speak in rhymes and riddles. And one of my closest friends, AB, she's not here right now, but she dealt with me as I was one of those poet types that would speak in riddles and all of that stuff. I don't know. Everything was like a poem to me until I dated someone that did the same thing. Pastor Steve is not here, so I'll tell the story. Listen. So there's this guy. His name like rhymed with mine. So he did spoken word as well. And so he would always speak in rhyme. Like, talking to me, it was the strangest thing. Like, you're not performing, bro. Like, what's your issue? But he's like, hey, Zai, I'm in my ride. About to pick you up. You know what's up. I mean, just random things. That was his flow. And I'm like, ugh. Because it's cute for the first time. But after a while, it's like, stop. That's awkward. It's annoying. It didn't pan out, actually. I think he was cute, but it just did not work out. If he's listening, give your life to Jesus. Awesome. But get deep, not shallow. What am I saying? You need to share when you're going through. You need to share when you're going through. How many extroverts are in the room? The extroverts would yell. Shout out to Angela. The biggest extrovert that I know. But, you know, there's being friendly and there's being known by a lot of people. You know, being lots of different acquaintances. Everyone likes you. Like, everyone likes you. Just known by so many people. But few people really know you. Know your fears and your struggles. Know even your dreams and your aspirations. We're wide, but not deep. Not deep at all. James 5:16 says, "Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results." It takes trust to do this. And I get it. It's hard trusting people. But I had to realize in trusting God, I had to trust God's people. God doesn't work without his people. Some of us is just like, no, I trust you, God, I do. I don't trust anybody else, but I trust you, God. Oh, yes, I trust you. You're my homeboy. He is, but he can't be your only homeboy. I remember it was just last semester. I went to the Keto Connect group. And it's funny, the first couple of times I was there, I was almost like Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here so I won't get fined. So I wouldn't say anything in the group, really. And it was like, and how about you? How are you? And I'm like, I'm good. I'm just here just to observe. That's it, just to observe. So, okay. But I was blown away by the transparency and the vulnerability of people. They just started sharing just their struggles. It was so odd to me. I'm like, they don't even know me. And they're like gushing out like all the different things that's going on. Saying, you know, I secretly struggle with my weight. And saying, life's not going that well, but I'm kind of eating my way happy. And I'm not happy at all because now I've gained all this weight. And even talking about being intimate with my spouse, like my body image, like, I mean, it just got really real. I'm like, whoa, Nelly, okay. Now, it was funny as well. It's not like a sob party or anything. Like, they were kicking it up too in that group.
But I was blown away. I'm like, wow. I mean, it started with the host just sowing those seeds of transparency, her kind of sharing just the struggles that she had, the depression even after having a baby and what that looked like. And she made a safe place for people to just talk and to be themselves. I don't think she realized just how much of an impact she would have on people. I mean, by the end of the group, and people just felt so refreshed, like so much transformation happened physically, actually, and most importantly, happened internally. And I'm like, wow, how awesome is that? And for me, just being honest, even coming out of just having a baby, and it was just like, Lord, this is a lot. And it was so comforting for me just to go to a place where I can just talk, just share this is what's happening, not having to, I'm a pastor, you know, everything is fine. And to some extent, you know, that's important, but there needs to be a place where you can go and say, this is what I'm working with. Like, I love Jesus, I do, but I'm struggling right now. And I'm really angry at this. This person decided, and I don't know how to deal with it. There needs to be a safe place that you can go to, that you can laugh even. And connect groups, they offer that, because some of you say, you know, I want that. I don't really have a space where I can tell people, you know, what I'm going through. Like, how do I do that? And the church is, you know, growing, and by the grace of God, we're going to reach so many different people, so many more people, because we need to. This world needs it. But even as it gets large, it needs to get small, too. Like, a safe place where you can go as a couple, go by yourself, I don't know. But we need that. You know, the groups directory, because we have connect groups here, the groups directory, they launch actually today. Do me a favor. Go on it and find a group that's going to work with your schedule. If you can't find one, host one so you can provide that space, because it's necessary. Let's not keep it shallow, y'all. Because some of you like, how's good? Everything's good? Blessed? Highly favored. Yes. And you go to your car and you cry. You know what I'm talking about, because I did that. Last point is try again with God. Try again with God. There's a theologian that said, you can dust it off and try again. Dust yourself off and try again. Try again. You can. Don't make me sing. I can. No, I can't. I can't. I'm singing. As he was going to ask, I'm like, I was singing to them. They wanted me to sing to them today. Don't tell them that, please. But a lot of us can say, you know, I tried. You know, I tried calling them. I tried liking all of their IG stories and stuff, and they haven't liked any of mine, but it's cool. You know, I tried to, you know, schedule a lunch with them, and I went out of my way to schedule a lunch, and nothing happened, and now I'm like, whatever, it's about me this year. First of all, a lot of us get offended so quickly, don't we? How many passive-aggressive people out there in the room? Oh, my gosh. I didn't know you were actually going to raise your hand. Such an honest church. I love it. Thank you. You know, we know who we are, because I can get like that sometimes. You know, someone does something that we don't like, and we don't talk to them about it, but in your head, you're like, you're dead to me. You're not going to say a thing. You know, they're calling you, sent a voicemail. And then you see them. Sometimes you see them at church, and as soon as you see them, you're going the other way. Oh, I got to use the bathroom now, really? And they finally find you. I'm like, hey, Susie, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, good. I'm like, I've been trying to call you. Oh, really? Oh, I changed my number. You did? Yeah, I told everyone minus you. AKA, you're on the block list, you know? A lot of us, we're offended quickly. Now, I was just laughing at being passive aggressive, but some of us, when it comes to a relationship, people have done things to us, especially people that are close to us. Maybe they weren't there for us at a critical time. Or worse, maybe they even betrayed us somehow. And because of what they did, you're just like, I'm done with relationship. You know, it's just God, it's just you and me, you know? Or you're settling with your usual friends and all that, knowing that you don't relate, but at least this is better than nothing. Colossians 3 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, So you must forgive others.
Ouch. Forgiving ain't easy, is it? Because it can be right here. Yeah, you must forgive. You need to forgive.
But it's hard to do, especially when someone close to you hurts you deep. And there's no one in this room that said, I've never been hurt by anyone in my life or been greatly disappointed by someone in my life. I was praying for you all today, praying for forgiveness to take place in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes there's some great things that's happened to us, some injustices even. It's just like, I can't, I won't. It says make allowances for people, knowing that they're not perfect. People are not perfect. So this isn't a message to say, yeah, you can be my covenant friend because you'll never hurt me. They may. People are not perfect. Some of us have God expectations of people. God expectations are only supposed to be filled by God. So we're really unreasonable when we come into a relationship with folks. And so we don't give. Or we have, again, relationships, but it's pretty shallow. We keep it here. And wondering why you're not progressing, thinking you can do it all by yourself. Let's look at what Jesus said. Mark 12, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. If you remember the opening scripture, let's go back to Jonathan now and see what he did. 1 Samuel 18, and Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. As he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. This is very odd. This is very, very odd. First of all, Jonathan was the king's son. And it became really evident that David was probably going to be the next king over Jonathan. Jonathan was next in line for the throne. So even him giving his robe, that was a kingly robe, it would have signified to everyone that he was next in line. And he also gave him the sword. At that time, swords were very, very precious. Very precious. Only Saul and Jonathan had a sword at that time. Because, in case you wanted to know, I mean, the Philistines, they had confiscated or taken all the blacksmiths. So if you needed a sword, you had to go to the enemy's camp. He gave him his bow. Jonathan was a renowned archer. And I'm like, why did he do all of that? Was he desperate for a friend? Was he just dumb? Sometimes I ask these questions. You can too. Like, I don't get it. Why do all this? That's being a little extra for a friendship, isn't it? And I just got to thinking. You know, when David was telling Saul, like, how he killed Goliath, I think Jonathan recognized something in him. Have you ever been talking to someone and you see yourself in them a little bit? You know what I'm talking about? Even for some of the older folks in there, you're kind of talking to a person, it's just like, I remember when I was like that. Or sometimes it's not even an age thing, but you can just like, oh yeah, that reminds me of me. That's the Lord kind of knitting your hearts together with that person. I don't know, I think as David was talking, Jonathan remembered something. He remembered just a little bit ago when him and his armor bearer had stolen away and they went to the enemy's camp, saying perhaps the Lord can deliver with just a few. And so they ended up getting just this massive, just great victory. And it took faith and trust in God. And Jonathan recognized that faith and trust in God that David had too when he came up against Goliath. He was like, ah, I like that. That reminds me of me. Jonathan had a relationship with the Lord. So he can see God's hand of favor on him. And so not out of manipulation, but he said, I'm going to do whatever I can to see God's plan come to pass over this man's life. And I was charged and convicted by that. I'm like, how much energy am I putting forth in my own relationships? And I'm not saying that the relationship should be hard, because there should be a certain type of ease, you know, in them. But how much energy, even the good relationships that I have, am I doing all that I can to see what God wants to do in someone's life happen? I'm like, oh Lord, I repent. I haven't been the greatest at this. Because it takes a lot of trust to do that, doesn't it? Because you wonder, are they doing it for me? But listen, what God has for us is huge. All the plans and the purpose that He has for us, we can't accomplish it by ourselves. We need people in our corners. Because a lot of us, we want to be a David, don't we? We want to accomplish a lot that God has for us. But first, I think we have to be a Jonathan. Laying down our lives. Putting someone's ambitions over our own. Encouraging someone. Because this life that God has for us, this road to that destiny, it can get a lot. And I know a lot of us are tempted to just stop. Saying it's too hard. I don't even want it anymore. It's hard to do. To trust people. To open up your life. Because sometimes people judge. And no one wants that. Sometimes people reject and no one wants that. But I'm encouraging you all, church. Let's be a people that loves well, that loves deep. Let's be a people that say, I'm going to have covenant relationships. I'm going to be intentional, not just say it, but I'm going to be intentional about cultivating these covenant relationships. Because when we do that, we're going to accomplish so much more. Don't we want this year to be unusual in a good way? Because it could be unusually bad, yeah? We want it to be unusual. We want it to be huge. And God does have great things for us, but we can't do it by ourselves. So do me this favor. Be intentional about cultivating them. Pick three. Saying this year, this month, I'm going to find my three covenant people. In Jesus' name. And God's going to do it. Anyone receives that today? Amen and amen. Bow your head. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for all that you are and all that we are in you. Thank you for bringing healing to our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for bringing even those divine relationships. We love and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Allow him to speak to you. For some of you, God is reminding you of parts of your personalities that are a little bit funky. He's gracious about it. And he's working on you right now about that insecurity. For some of you, he's just bringing healing to you because you've just been so angry and so hurt. And he's bringing healing to you right now. There's also a group of you right now that, if you're to be honest, you just feel far from God. This whole concept of covenant relationship, you don't really quite understand it. Giving freely to someone without expecting something back because you've never freely received from Christ. Maybe this is your first time in church. Maybe not. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but you just feel disconnected. But you feel a tugging at your heart. You feel it. There's something happening right now. That's the Lord speaking to you. He's saying, I love you. Saying, I'm not angry. No, I want you. I want a relationship with you. And if that's you, it'd be my honor and my privilege to pray for you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if you can just slip your hand up, what you're saying is, Pastor, pray for me. I feel just a little bit disconnected, unsure about my faith, a little angry, I don't know. But I want a relationship with him. You can slip it up and drop it right back down. This is between you and God. That's you. I'd love to pray for you. The Bible makes it easy. We don't have to do much. Just believe in our heart and confess with our tongue that Christ Jesus is Lord. And in that moment, he steps in. So if you just raise your hand, perhaps one or two, you can repeat this prayer after me. Church, out of encouragement, you can repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Step into my life. Lead me, and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.